My name is Daniel Mom, and I'm from University of South Florida. Today I'm going to be presenting a pilot study looking at healthcare utilization expenditure impact of a cognitive behavioral intervention for dementia caregivers with depression. And also, with Pavitra's introduction, I think it's pretty well established that AD and related dementia has really major impact, probably more so on the caregiver side. So it's kind of hidden, right? It's kind of family, informal care. It's never showed up on the radar screen. But the importance is very substantial. So basically, some statistics, there are about more than 5 million AD patients in the United States. And all more shockingly, perhaps, right, among those age 85, almost half had Alzheimer's disease. And the vast majority of them, obviously, all patients were cared for through the long-term care continuum. But the vast majority of them were cared for by family members, informal caregivers at home. And the recent Healthy People 2020 had added dementia, you know, improving a dementia outcome as one of the new objectives. So it signifies its importance in public health. In terms of racial and ethnic disparity, there's well-documented disparity, probably partially attributable to the cardiovascular risks that minorities experience. Specifically, African Americans are about twice as likely to have Alzheimer's and related dementia compared to their, you know, white counterparts. Now, because of the nature of the disease, it's progressive, it's prognosis uncertain, it lingers along for long times. Taking care of Alzheimer's and related dementia patients really present a major challenge for caregivers, right? Specifically, you're talking about psychological distress, sleep, you know, deprivation and fragmentation, reduction in social activities, which is Pavitra talked about earlier, and disruptive family relationships. Think about, you know, the hollow, right, person. And with that in mind, among African Americans, caregivers are less likely to receive mental health services because of disparities in SES, socioeconomic status, as well as lower education. A little bit of background. The cognitive behavioral therapy is really a type of psychotherapy, as the name suggests, emerges from the cognitive therapy, which is developed in the 20s, actually, so a long sort of time of practicing. Later on, merged with the 60s of a behavioral therapy. What basically does is trying to teach proper management. So it's like we're not going to be able to take away the caregiving tasks. But however, we can help, you know, the clients or the patients reframe and then hopefully put it a positive spin, right? And we see that all the time in the media. But evidence that, as Xiaoyu suggests, it does work. So CBT has been shown to be effective in improving caregiver health. Specifically, we're looking at two sort of well-known studies, REACH 1 and 2, that has shown these the benefits. On the other hand, the issue obviously is that can we deliver same effectiveness with lower costs? Can we think about alternative delivery mechanisms? So in this particular one, we're talking about telephone delivered intervention. And also, it's an interesting note, to get back to one of Pavitra's comments, you know, informational and also religiosity, right, spiritual. So as part of the component, obviously, since this is a study geared toward minority caregivers, this aspect has been carefully thought of. So the study I'm presenting is called the Alzheimer's Caregiver Training and Support Study. It's a pilot study funded by NIMH to test the therapeutic equivalence in the preparation for a larger randomized control trial. Telephone-based CBT versus face-to-face, developed by trained mental health professionals. It's in north and northwest of Florida. So what are these, components of the intervention? So roughly, we're looking at a 12-week schedule, weekly intervention, week 1 through 6 group sessions. That's the informational, as you see, right, basics of dementia, informing, and relaxation training, right, effective thinking, emotional well-being, things like that. And then the second phase consists of individual problem-solving sessions, because the reason is that you need to be setting up individual-based goals, so it's, you know, better grounded with the texture of their concerns, the caregiver's concerns, and monitoring changes. And the last week, again, it's a group session, sort of enhancing support network, right? So that's the gist of the CBT intervention. The goal of my today's presentation is going to be comparing the cost aspect of the two. So data collection. Blind interviews at baseline, asking about the past 3 months in terms of healthcare utilization, and then repeated 1 week after the 12-week intervention, so that's post. We used a validated health service composite questionnaire, basically itemized all these different services, including out-of-pocket. Now, so that utilization, we need price information to come up with the total cost. So price information we took from medical expenditure panel survey, a population-based survey of the actual healthcare utilization costs among the U.S. population. So dependent variable, we're looking at total healthcare expenditures, a summation of all these components, office visits, right, prescription drug use, emergency room, hospital, and out-of-pocket. The independent variable, obviously the intervention, right, telephone coded as one, and then the reference group is a face-to-face. And we control for socio-demographics, caregiving history, and health status of caregivers. So descriptive statistics, chi-square, and non-parametric tests because of the distributional characteristics of the utilization expenditure data. Since we have a pre-post randomized two-group design, we use the so-called difference-in-difference approach to obtain the estimate of the treatment effect on cost for the telephone group as compared to the face-to-face group. We did the log transformation on the dependent variable. So baseline characteristics. The middle two columns correspond to the face-to-face versus the telephone. As you can see, they're by and large very similar with the exception of living arrangements. As you would imagine, part of the attractiveness of the telephone is that they don't have to travel to these sessions, so it allows, a different type of caregivers and their patients to be, I guess, it's more convenient. And they're similar in terms of CSD, the Center for Epidemiologic Study, depression, right? PHQ, patient health questionnaire. Both are measures of depressive symptoms. Similar. Number of comorbid conditions. Caregiving years, average of, almost four, right? Between 3 and 4 years, which goes back to the issue of the importance. Okay, so the first question is, were there any sort of health service use by type? First, for the two groups as you see, they were similar, right? Suggesting that the randomizations, working properly, although on the hospital, obviously, very few were admitted, so it's not as stable. And by the way, the p-values were based on the Fisher's exact test. And then post, they're all similar, so suggesting the in terms of likelihood of healthcare use, there weren't that big of a difference between the two type of a delivery mechanism. Okay, among the users of health services use, we see similar patterns of similar use both pre as well as post, with the exception of, now these are median and interquartile range. So obviously in this case, there's one person that had a 10-day stay. So, but by and large, they're comparable, which, okay, so expenditures. This is tallied over 3 months and then divided by three to improve the interpretation. So monthly cost, total expenditures, we're looking at somewhere between $600 and $700 at pre, and then somewhat lower for the telephone group at post. And we're going to put these into a multivariate regression model. So unadjusted model, you're looking at the mean of this is -138, suggesting that the telephone-based is slightly cheaper. However, if you look at the median, which is less susceptible to outliers, and so the bottom line is that they're very similar in terms of cost profile. Intervention costs, obviously, to deliver such a sort of mental health services. We have various different components. But in general, as you would expect, I was actually expecting a better cost saving because of the telephone. But it turns out, in order for you to maintain treatment fidelity, which is beyond the scope of this presentation, but earlier result, this is currently under review, suggests both intervention alleviates depressive symptoms, so there's effective there. But as you can see, the training cost is by and large very similar, because perhaps more supervision and support of counselors when they're on the phone doing this, because it's all scripted and all that, so the cost is slightly higher. But then in the end, they don't have to travel, so that's certainly a good plus. And then there's no staff travel, so in the end, it's slightly cheaper to deliver it over the telephone. And what this basically shows is that when we're examining the difference between the two, the telephone versus the face-to-face, there weren't any statistically significant differences when you control for, you know, caregiver characteristics and symptoms. In summary, telephone-based CBT appears to be has similar impact on healthcare costs, coupled with the now shown effectiveness measure. This suggests that telephone delivering is feasible, and it might save costs if if the scale has been bigger, or it could be modified, maybe a less intensive delivery. But as you can see, it's a 12-week weekly delivery. And finally, in conclusion, this purpose of this pilot study was to test the feasibility. So it looks like a larger scale study is needed to confirm these findings. And secondly, the part of the attractiveness of in Northern Florida is a telehealth-based CBT. Once you do the training part and a carefully designed study, you'll enable you to reach many more people. Maybe next time the FaceTime could be tested, right? So video based, but this is a telephone only based. And then also, right, currently the research team is testing even a sort of lower cost alternatives for specifically of trained volunteers. These are lay kind of ministered in their churches, and especially thinking about the spiritual aspect of it, and sort of culturally sensitive, and also in the neighborhood. And hopefully, we'll have results next year. Thank you very much.